Hello. So we are talking about selecting corporate level strategies today. So we're going to define it. We're going to talk a little bit about what diversification is. We're going to talk about how to implement a corporate strategy. Talk about strategies for getting smaller. And then we'll do some portfolio planning and corporate level strategies as well. So I say that to say this. It's a lot. That is a lot, but we're going to get through it. We are going to try and use some of these examples. I know I tend to go back to the same examples, but that's because these companies are the largest in the world for a reason. They are doing very, very well for themselves in areas of innovation or in areas of strategy, in areas of marketing, in all these different areas, and that's why they're the largest and having so much success right now. But as we've seen with others, I've certainly used Kodak as an example, things can change on a dime. And if you're a winner today, you may be a loser tomorrow if you don't have a good strategy, if you don't do good planning, if you don't look at internal and external factors, if you're not willing to adapt and change, if you don't manage your people well and your resources well, if you're not constantly looking for that competitive advantage and leveraging your strengths, then you could certainly find yourself in a bad position soon. So, you know, what I would say is that it's important to have a good strategy. Things that we need to consider is what is corporate strategy? And corporate strategy is specific actions that are taken by a business to gain a competitive advantage by selecting and managing a group of different businesses in several industries or product markets. So corporate level strategy, really people are trying, CEOs, executives, the brain trust of the corporation is trying to answer two basic questions. What business should we be in, and how should we manage the portfolio to achieve synergy and create value? And then part of that, what geography should we be in, what range of products should we offer, and what stage of industry value can we offer, and what can we participate in? So the book defines this term synergy. And in the business context, it means cooperations or interactions between two or more business units so they can perform more effectively together than they would if they are independent. So I work and have done work for organizations that do not understand synergy very well, and they treat every unit as a separate unit, and instead of working together to maximize value, they use one unit, which may be more profitable than the other unit, to fund that other unit. And certainly, there are problems with that. Some of the ways to help that is to do things like, combine certain functions. So human resources functions can be across all the companies. Certainly, accounting and finance can be across all the companies, and there are some other administrative positions that can be across all the companies as well. One of the foundational things, and we will talk about, is diversification, and that's how do you diversify, and in doing so, how do you create that synergy that we're talking about? The book talks about Berkshire Hathaway as an example of that, where they own as many, many diverse areas as possible. They own businesses in real estate, insurance, railroad, all kinds of businesses. Disney is another one that has diversified with their Disney Plus app. That is a separate thing. It diversified its value train, and that gave it a place for the video content that they create, the content that they create, a place for that to live. So there are three kinds of diversification. There's related diversification, and that's diversifying in the businesses in the same industry, like Volkswagen and Audi. There's unrelated diversification. That would be like Amazon buying Whole Foods. That is a completely different, or the Washington Post. Those are completely different businesses. Actually, I need to correct myself. Amazon does not own the Washington Post. Bezos does. And then there's geographic diversification as well, which is operating in different geographic markets. So the goal, again, is to get as efficient and effective as possible in these models. You want to achieve that synergy. Porter, we talk about Porter a lot because Porter really, Michael Porter is a rock star. He is the person who, when it comes to strategy, the name Michael Porter is well known. In fact, if you've never seen a picture of Michael Porter, since we talk about every single one of his strategies, let's bring him up. There's Michael Porter. So he's at Harvard Business School. That is him. He's a nice, smiley man, but he's an economist, and he has brought economic theory and strategy. This is to bear on a bunch of markets. Yeah, that's a blah, blah, blah. But Michael Porter is one of the foremost strategists of our time, really. He really, really is. His book on competition is a very, very good one, if you've never read it. And then, obviously, he's written a lot of books, you can see here, a lot of journal articles. There's a lot of his work is out there, and it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And keeps going on and on and on and on and on. The point is, and look, you can click on this. It says all publications. The point is that Michael Porter is a rock star. And we can go through his 47 pages of publications alone and teach a class. So you'll hear Porter referred to a lot. But anyway, Porter said that if you are going to do a diversification move, you have to figure out how attractive the industry that you're considering entering is, how much it will cost, and really, honestly, and it's what it boils down to, is will it make you better? And will you be better off by entering in that market, or will you not be? And that's one of the considerations. Now, sometimes you will enter in a market because it will give you a competitive advantage, and that certainly could be a reason to engage in diversification. Excuse me. So related diversification is when a firm moves into a new industry that has important similarities. Disney buying ABC is certainly one of them. Will see things like in the makeup space is the example that's in the book, and that's a pretty good example. You will see here that they certainly have bought a bunch of products, Estee Lauder did, which have helped them. Okay, so let's move past that, and let us move to unrelated. And that you may have heard the term, don't put all your eggs in one basket. It's because then if you fall, they're going to break. So you want to diversify. And you may have heard this even when people are talking about your retirement strategy, and they talk about diversifying your portfolio. Speaking of which, I wonder how the stock market is doing. But diversification of your portfolio. So you don't want to put all your assets in, in Apple. Because if Apple goes away tomorrow, then you are in trouble. So you want to make sure that maybe you have a little bit of stock in Apple, but then you have a little bit of stock in, in Target, and then you have a little bit of stock in maybe Amway, then maybe you have a little bit of stock in, and then you name the company, name the company, name the company, and you want to have a bunch of different things. So if Apple went away, you would still be okay, and you would still retain the majority of your wealth. Well, that's kind of the same idea when it comes to diversification, and you want to, and we're talking about unrelated diversification. That's kind of the same idea. You know, we mentioned Berkshire. We will talk about them again right now. You can see here that Berkshire includes things like General Reinsurance and Geico, but that is not the only thing they have. They also have other things. They have energy holdings. They have retail holdings. They have apparel business. They have flight safety. They have See's Candies. It's funny that it says Buffett, Warren Buffett, who's the owner of Berkshire, has a sweet tooth for See's Candies. They have the railroads, and then they have the Pampered Chef, which is the direct kitchen seller. So you can see there that Berkshire is really a good example of an unrelated diversification strategy. But what's interesting about Berkshire is not they're just not going out there and saying, oh, okay, I want this company, I want this company, I want this company, I want this company. They're being very, very smart about how they do it. Something else, the book mentions this one as well, but Coca-Cola bought Columbia Pictures. Again, it's the same thing. Is the more you have, then you're ensuring that your company is set up for success, and you're hedging and protecting yourself. If something were to happen, your whole business does not go away. Geographic diversification. If you think about some places that used international expansion as well as domestic expansion. Certainly McDonald's comes to mind. I have never been in a country where I've not been able to find either a Pizza Hut or a McDonald's. Granted, I've not been in every country in the world, but so far I am, however many countries I've been to, 100% success rate that I can find either a Kentucky Fried Chicken or a McDonald's or a Pizza Hut in that country. You know what's interesting is in the U.S., in America, there's this big chain called TGIF's, and it's a food place. And you can go in there. It's kind of like an Applebee's or a Chili's, and it's TGIF's. Thank goodness it's Fridays, and you go in there and get food. I was overseas in, where was I? I was in Dubai, I think. I think it was Dubai. And there was a TGIT's, thank goodness it's Thursdays. So it's the same company, obviously, but because the weekend is different, then it shifted. But I was very surprised, and I don't know, that was years ago, but I was very surprised. I was overseas to see not only a TGIF, but a TGIT. So anyway, there's geographic diversification as well. Something else to think about is mergers and acquisitions. ExxonMobil is one. I don't have my ExxonMobil card. But ExxonMobil is one where Exxon and Mobil was merged. And Exxon and Mobil merged. Starbucks acquired Seattle's Best Coffee. There you go. So that's another merger and acquisition. Hewlett Packard is one. Daimler Chrysler. These are Sprint. T-Mobile is obviously one that was recent that just happened, and there's been some other ones that have been proposed as well. These are mergers and acquisitions. The thing about that's interesting about Sprint T-Mobile is right now a lot of people probably remember that, but in 30, 40, 50 years, when Sprint becomes begins to fade from people's memory as a wireless carrier, then they're gonna. I think people will be surprised to learn that that T-Mobile acquired Sprint. So when the names don't combine, it's a little harder. So that's a way. Mergers and acquisitions obviously is a way to It's a way to acquire companies with a different expertise. If you don't have it, it's a way to begin to open yourself up to different markets and different things just by acquiring companies. And again, Berkshire Hathaway is a good example of that, and we talked about them. Vertical integration. The book uses American Apparel as an example of that, and they talk about a backward vertical integration, which is entering a supplier's business and then using the employees. Manufacturing, where that happens. And then, you know, to keep pace, it takes it takes only a couple weeks to go from idea to retail floor. And then they use Ford vertical integration, where they enter a buyer's business, and they have 250-plus company-owned stores worldwide. So what's really cool about that, and what really struck me about this, and the reason why I'm highlighting it, is the idea of 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a very short amount of time to go from idea to the retail store. I think that is just incredible. Another one, and actually it mentions it here, is oil companies, how they're involved in all the processes, refining all the way down. And sometimes you'll see that in the seafood industry as well, where seafood companies will own the processing plants and those kind of things and have that vertical integration strategy. So there is also backward vertical integration strategy, and that means moving back along the value chain and entering a supplier's business. So if you think that a supplier has too much power over your firm, they can control things. I believe in an earlier lecture, I talked about wiring harnesses, and if you're the only person that provides wiring harnesses, then you have incredible power. That gives you incredible power over your competitors, over everybody. So that might be a reason why somebody would go backward and acquire that business and remove that power from the supplier, begin to create their own one by creating subsidiaries that then provide those products to that company. So wiring harness is one example, but certainly if you think about automobiles, you can think about the gas to rubber, I mean the windows to rubbers, the glass to rubber, that kind of thing. Forward vertical integration is when, instead of going back along the value chain, you move forward in the value chain. So if you think about it, vertical integration, you have the retail stores. What that does is that prevents buyers from being part of the process, and that allows you to control your product. So if you have a bunch of buyers that come out and say, no, I don't want this, I want this, I don't want this, I don't want this, well, if you control that, then you can control what products gets in front of the consumers. Apple is big in this area as well. Okay, so there's different ways to do a diversification strategy. We've talked about some of these. We've talked about merger and acquisition. There's joint ventures, which we talked about last lecture, where pharmaceuticals maybe would come together to look at building something. They also may enter into a strategic alliance. And then there's this idea as internal development, which I have not talked about. And this would be where a company decides to enter into a new business itself. So instead of acquiring a business, they will enter into it themselves. You have to have a strong entrepreneurial orientation in order to do that. And one of a really good example of a company that does this quite a bit is Google, which incentivizes their employees and incentivizes people to do it. And you know what? I was mistaken. It's not Google. It is actually Alphabet, ABC. So Google is part of the parent company Alphabet, which gives a lot of innovation to a lot of people and allows them to do some pretty cool things. So Google is certainly an example of not only innovation, but it is a very good example of that kind of strategy that we're just talking about, which is internal development. Apple is another example of that. So because we've already talked about strategic alliance a little bit, I'm just going to focus on the definition, which is a mutually beneficial relationship between two organizations. If you have ever been into a Barnes & Noble, you'll notice they sell Starbucks coffee, and that would be an example. A lot of university campuses also have strategic alliances with Barnes & Noble and their book business. Joint venture is when two companies come together to birth a third company. The example in the book, and since I was wearing the shirt yesterday, I might as well use it, is Embraer is a company as well as Boeing, and they came together to start a third company, and they're going to get into the smaller passenger plane market by doing so. So that's a joint venture, and again, it's another way to diversify, and in mergers and acquisitions, we talked about M&A a lot, and that is where basically, you just acquire a business and you merge with another company to form a different company, ExxonMobil being an example. So there are reasons that you are big and you may want to get smaller. There's spinoffs. There's some examples in the book, but I want you to do a little bit of research here, so I'm not going to mention any outside of the book, but think about companies that have spun off from other companies. Maybe I will give you one. Let me bring it up. Forgive me for 1 second while I bring it up. Okay, so I was going to bring up the website, but it's not very clear. By eBay, one of the spinoffs from eBay has been PayPal, so that's an example of a spinoff, but it's not very clear on the website. So we'll move past that. But think about other spinoffs and. Certainly, if you did a Google search, you could find some good ones. But spinoffs are very valuable, and there's reasons you do that. Maybe you do that because it's not part of your strategy or five-year outlook. Maybe you do that because you want to get smaller because of market forces or pressures, or you want to avoid monopolies, or whatever the reason may be. There are certainly reasons why people spin off their companies and sell off parts of their business. Lockheed Martin is an example of a company that has done that. I worked for a group of Lockheed Martin, which is called the Mission Services Division a few years ago, and that was spun off, and another company was formed, and it was sold off, and Lockheed Martin decided that it wasn't part of their long-term strategy to continue in that space, part of that Mission Services Division, which, ironically, I should have seen it coming, because we changed names from Mission Services to IS and GS to something else. Anyway, we changed names like 5 or 6 times before eventually they were spun off. Let's see. So one of the things, Boston Consulting Group, they have a matrix which helps people to do some corporate level strategy, and it helps... It helps define this. They have the cash cow, which is the high market share, the dogs, which is the low market share, the stars, which have high market share units within fast-growing industries, and then question marks, which is not known. Looking at the time, I don't want to get into too much detail on this, but what I do want to say about it is that when you're looking at it and you're thinking about it, you got to think about the matrix, which is, what is your strategy going to be? Which is high industry growth rate, low relative market share. That means question marks should be resolved, whether to foster or sell these units. So you got to decide if it makes sense for you to keep it or whether it makes sense to get rid of it. If it's a low growth industry with a low relative market share, you need to get rid of it immediately. Certainly that would apply to older technology as well. You don't see many cassette manufacturers anymore or many people that are manufacturing CD players or things like that. So you can use this matrix and this idea of stars or dogs or cash cows to decide whether you need to get rid of a business. That is it. So I know we went through especially that last part a little bit quicker, but the point is that, and I hope the point you're getting is that there's a lot to think about with all this stuff, right? So when you have a company, you got to think about where do you want to enter, what is the competitive advantage that you're trying to get by buying a certain company. So Berkshire Hathaway obviously has diversified holdings. Somebody at Ford might want to look at the value chain and move back in the value chain and buy things because they don't want their suppliers to have power. Or somebody like Disney may move forward in the supply chain because they don't want buyers to have too much power and they don't want them to tell them what they have to do. So certainly there are reasons and strategy behind every decision you make. And, just talking about those dogs one more time, if something is not making you money, you need to get rid of it right away. Lockheed Martin certainly did that with what was the Mission Services Group and spun it off and let it do its own thing, and that was a decision they made, and that is fine. It certainly fostered innovation and spurred innovation and new companies and new growth and individuals with entrepreneurial spirit who then took over some of those businesses that existed. So strategy, corporate level strategy, it's a lot. It's a lot to think about. And I don't know if we always sit back and think about some of the moves that are made from these successful companies. Next, we're going to talk about competing in international markets. So that will be interesting. There's different frameworks. There's different drivers to success. And there's different options when it comes to operating in those kind of markets. So looking forward to discussing that with you here as soon as you complete this module. So as we do every time, let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come together today. Lord, I pray that anything that may be weighing on our classmates' mind, anything as they're going through the material that's serving as a distraction or as a roadblock to their learning, Lord, I pray that you will remove it. Lord, I pray that you will give each person a special blessing today. Lord, you will help them to know that they are loved. You will give them an opportunity to know that they are loved. And Lord, I pray that you will bless this class and you will continue to bless the material that we're learning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, and I will see you back here for number 9.